I want you to look again this morning, verse 14 of our text. You'll notice the prayer of Moses here reminds us of a very powerful and foundational truth about satisfaction, about fulfillment in this life. Verse 14, he says, "O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." I want to speak this morning on the subject, the miracle of a satisfied soul. The miracle of the satisfied soul. And of course, the reason for that noun, the word miracle, is that anybody in this life, whoever possesses a truly satisfied soul, well, that person represents an extraordinary, wonderful, and yes, a supernatural work of God. The novelist John Steinbeck alluded to the world's utter inability to satisfy man when he wrote, "There is a capacity for appetite that a whole heaven and earth of cake cannot satisfy." Indeed, it was Solomon who said, "The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing." In other words, there's not enough in this world that you can see or that you can hear. Not enough stuff, not enough supply or sonatas or symphonies or speeches that can ever bring real and lasting satisfaction to the human soul. A whole heaven and earth of cake cannot satisfy the human heart. But one thing can and does. There's just one thing, and that is, as noted in the title, it's a miracle. It is, in fact, a miracle of the satisfied soul. Father, please help us today to hear your word. And the power and the glory of your word that changes us, help us to look into this mirror and be changed from glory to glory. We commit this time to your hands again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. There are three truths this morning contained within this one simple statement by Moses that give us the true secret of a satisfied soul. It gives us the answer, if you will, from the only one, by the way, who knows man well enough that he knows exactly what man is truly missing in his heart. For example, the first truth in the text is that, number one, joy is the fruit of being satisfied. Joy is the fruit of being satisfied. Look again, verse 14. "Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy." Why? So that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. In other words, look, whenever somebody possesses a measure of joy and gladness, well, that rejoicing is the fruit of a certain satisfaction. And of course, we all know this morning to be true, both innately and experientially. There's an appetite for food. Well, satisfying that appetite with a big 24-ounce porterhouse steak off the grill gives you a measure of joy and obviously a measure of gladness. Ladies have an appetite, perhaps, for a new item of clothing or some accessory. And who in the world will deny that arms full of bags going out of the Gardens Mall gives them a moment or a day, hopefully a couple months, of gladness and joy? So that you see, the whole idea of euphoria and endorphins and pleasure and so on is that when appetites are satisfied, that satisfaction leads to joy and gladness. Some boy works all season on his batting position in baseball at his bat speed, and he dreams of heroic glory. He's building up an appetite. And you know, it's true, if ever he hits his first home run, especially if it's a walk-off home run, there's a lot of joy and a lot of gladness in being satisfied and having it fulfilled. Every time I tee the ball up on the golf course and hit my drive 395 yards right down the middle, I said it's a miracle. You know, I think everybody here is one time or another has eaten a Snickers bar. At least you should have if you haven't as of yet. But, you know, Snickers has a motto. And they've had it for a very long time. It simply says Snickers satisfies. Or sometimes it says Snickers truly satisfies. Nothing handles hunger better than a great tasting Snickers bar, right? Well, hunger's an appetite. And what better way to satisfy that appetite than a bar of milk chocolate packed with roasted peanuts and caramel, unless it's also been deep fried at the fair. Some of you bought one last week. Well, you know, in its more recent commercials, you may have noticed that Snickers uses this other theme, "need a boost" slogan. He says, because when you're really hungry, you're just not yourself. You're Betty White or some other person in the commercial. And you know, it's very interesting to me. Because that entire concept comes from a train of thought that has been taught by psychologists for a very long time. If you've ever taken psychology in college, you'll recall Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And of course, it's a pyramid with Maslow. You begin with your physical needs, the very basic needs at the bottom. And then once those are met, you move up to your safety needs. And once your safety needs are met, you advance to meeting the need for belonging and for love. And so it goes all the way to top. And if you're truly satisfied, they say, in all of these needs, you finally come to the top, you will reach what he called self-actualization. In other words, you become your real self. You're actually fulfilled. And yes, if you're really hungry and you're not yourself, you just jump the pyramid, the commercial says, cut to the chase and eat a Snickers bar, and you're yourself once again. I guarantee you, beloved, that if some child right over there in junior church right now is really hungry, and they happen to really like chocolate, I can walk over there and give them instantly a measure of joy and a measure of gladness by feeding them a Snickers bar. Why? Because joy is the fruit of being satisfied. And yes, you might even say that the opposite is true. Lack of joy is the fruit of being dissatisfied. That is proven true every time you meet someone in the morning who has an appetite for coffee and they haven't had theirs yet. There's a coffee mug that has these lines on the outside, and the top one, the very top, when the coffee's full, it says, shh, and then the next one says, just a minute, and then the last one says, okay, you can talk now because the coffee's about gone. There's no joy, there's no gladness with some unsatisfied coffee drinkers, or, for that matter, some unsatisfied CEOs, and some unsatisfied coaches, and some unsatisfied husbands, and some unsatisfied teenagers, and so it goes. That's why there's no joy and gladness. Their soul is not satisfied. Which brings us then back to this text. Because you'll notice that Moses uses a specific reference in Hebrew here to the morning. Look at verse 14 again. He says, oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Now, I ask you a question. Why early? Why pray for satisfaction at the beginning of a day or the beginning of a year or the beginning of a life? Well, it brings us to the second truth in Scripture. We said, number one, joy is the fruit of being satisfied. Number two, I want you to consider, is that the measure of joy and gladness is determined by the measure of your satisfaction. Notice the word with in verse 14. He says, Moses says, Lord, oh, satisfy us early with thy what? Let me ask you a question. How much satisfaction and therefore joy and gladness does the human soul draw from armfuls of shopping bags? Is it miraculous satisfaction? Is it abiding? Is it sustaining? Or is it possible that whatever satisfaction is drawn from a ton of stuff garnered over at the Gardens Mall is mitigated with some women precisely because there's still an awful lot of stuff left in the mall? How about the satisfaction and the joy for the person who spends his entire life in a sport and finally wins the World Series or the Super Bowl? Because you know what? I know of a guy who sold his Super Bowl ring for mere pennies so that he could buy some drugs. Maybe two rings would have satisfied his soul. Or maybe three. You know, I remember in high school, I went through this phase when I was 100% convinced that if I could just get a motorcycle, I mean, just please. I had to ride that long bus route from Indiantown to Martin County High School in Stuart as a senior every day. Not only did it take forever, but everybody else on the bus were sophomore and freshmen. And so I'd look out the window and I'd see these other friends of mine, seniors, on their motorcycles, sometimes in a car, but it was the motorcycle that got me. And they would pass the bus and they'd wave at me, but I'd always be looking away, of course. And so I prayed, no kidding. I was a Christian and I prayed, just let me get a Honda XL175 in Aquarius blue. Because I knew that I would be satisfied for the rest of my life. I would be filled with joy and gladness. I had the money. I worked at W&W Lumber. I had the money. My mom refused. That's why I prayed. I prayed for her. I was almost like the little boy you heard about staying at his grandma one summer. He desperately wanted a new bike. His grandma always watched the religious shows on TV. She was all over the board with her religion, and so she watched those programs. She said, "Timmy, if you really wanted the new bike, just pray for it." And so, you know, he'd seen her shows as well, spending that summer. So he prayed that night, "Lord, the giver of life and all that in them is, if it be your will and according to your good pleasure, grant unto your child that I may receive a blue bicycle at 6:30 a.m. tomorrow morning." That morning, he jumped out of bed, ran to the front door, no bike. And so he thought, that night, I remember another show Grandma watched, and he did another prayer, and he prayed again. "Lord, I hereby claim by faith, with a word of affirmation, this bike in His name." Amen. 6:30 in the morning. Went out, no bike. That night, frustrated, dying for that bike, he noticed his grandma had a statue of Mary over there by her prayer beads. And when Grandma went to bed, he sneaked out, grabbed the statue, put it in a brown paper bag, stuck it in the corner of the basement, and then he said, "Pray, Lord, if you ever want to see your mother again." I was not that desperate for a motorcycle. But I have a question. Is there anybody here today who believes that had I gotten my Honda, I would have been satisfied for the rest of my life? Maybe a few years? How about more like a few weeks? Which means that, ladies and gentlemen, my joy and my gladness in life, the fruit of my satisfaction then, would have disappeared eventually like the morning fog, and so does yours. In other words, your joy and your gladness, beloved, is in direct correlation with your satisfaction. With what? With things, money, houses, scores, awards, promotions, theme parks, which is to say, it's not much. It's not deep. It is not abiding. A few years ago, in fact, many years ago, I was sitting in a McDonald's and I was studying, and there was a retired 3-star vice admiral in the U.S. Navy, or so he told me he was. He graduated from the Naval Academy and he was now way up in years. And we got to talking, and he found out I was a pastor. He said, "You know something, Pastor, when I was a young officer, I wasn't a very happy man. I was very ambitious. And I was convinced," he said, "I believe that if I could ever be at a large gathering of naval officers, and I was the keynote speaker, and if I could get to the point, I believe that if I would be introduced to all these people as an admiral, chief of Navy operations, or the vice admiral, that at that moment," he said, "I was sure that I would be completely fulfilled in life." And so I worked, and I worked hard. And I was promoted, and I studied, and I worked, and I waited, and I waited, and one day, that actual dream came true. I was introduced at a meeting as the Vice Admiral so-and-so, and he said, "I'm telling you, Pastor, I was elated. It was a sense of overriding joy that lasted," he said, "until the next day. And it was gone." He thought for years that being introduced as a man of great stature would somehow satisfy his soul. It reminds me, you know, Ravi talks about an introduction at a conference where the audience was told that the man who's about to speak made a $10 million profit in a day at the stock market in Wall Street, and now he's going to tell us how. And so the speaker got up that time and he says, "Boy, that was quite the introduction. But let me correct a few things. It really wasn't $10 million, it was $20 million. It really wasn't dollars, it was pounds. It really wasn't in New York, it was in London. It really wasn't me, it was my brother. And it wasn't made, it was lost." You know something? The lasting value of that man's introduction really wasn't much better than the admiral's. You see why? Because the measure of joy and gladness, folks, is determined by the measure of satisfaction. And guess what? No matter what it is in this life that satisfies, Moses constantly measures it against this singular reality in the text. Look at these verses. Verse 4. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, and when it is past, and as a watch in the night. He said, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. Verse 9. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70. If by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Verse 12, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. In other words, look, a Snickers bar, a Honda XL175, a new bicycle, a third star in the Navy, a pile of shopping bags, a Super Bowl ring, a Super Bowl party. I read yesterday that Americans on Super Bowl Sunday will eat 1.25 billion chicken wings. Man, that's a lot of yard bird. But a party? How fleeting is that? A promotion, a possession, as a satisfying thing, folks, in the brevity of life and in the light of eternity. It is not substantial. It is not enough. And it's certainly not a miracle. Which brings us then to the third thing in the text, and to the true secret and the miracle of a satisfied soul. We said, number one, joy is the fruit of being satisfied. Number two, your measure of joy is determined by the measure of your satisfaction. Number three, being satisfied, therefore, with the soul's creator is the secret to everlasting joy and gladness. Verse 14. He says, oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy. Let me stop here for a moment. Because, folks, the word mercy, and especially in the Old Testament, is a huge, huge word. The exact same Hebrew word is sometimes translated thy loving kindness or long suffering, everlasting love. So that God's mercy, in other words, speaks of God's character, His patience, His goodness, His kindness, His love. So what does it say? Verse 14, oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, so that we may rejoice and be glad, what? All our days. Now, folks, I want you to hear this very carefully. Because Moses, through the Holy Spirit of God, says this, satisfy us early with yourself. Satisfy us early with your mercy, with your love, with your grace. Last year we preached from Psalm 59 where David said, the God of mercy shall go before me. I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. Why the morning? Why early? Psalm 143:8 says, cause me to hear thy mercy in the morning. Psalm 92:2, it is a good thing to show forth thy mercy, loving kindness in the morning. Jeremiah said in Lamentations chapter 3, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. They are new every morning. You see, beloved, clearly the Bible emphasizes man's need for embracing and understanding and celebrating and putting faith in God's mercy early and often. Why, Pastor? Because, folks, His mercy, His loving kindness, His grace is the one thing that satisfies the soul of man, truly satisfies, so that being satisfied in God Himself, He whose mercy endureth forever. How many times in the Psalms does it repeat? His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. Being satisfied in Him and that which endures forever in your soul, it produces a joy and a gladness that is founded upon that which is eternal. I remind you of what Jesus told the apostles. Do not rejoice, He said, that demons are subject unto you. That may pass. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. If you want joy, have joy in something that's eternal. And then, here's what happens. Satisfied in your soul, early in the day, early in the year, early in your walk in life, then all day long and all year long and all the days of your life, there is gladness and joy that's miraculous, including all those blessings of food and family and friends added to those blessings, so that being satisfied in God and His loving kindness and His grace and truth, that satisfied appetite guarantees a miraculous joy, a miraculous gladness that the lost in this world behold and glorify your Father. Verse 17, a great text, Brother Pat shared with me some time ago, says, "And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us." Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. God even brings a joy and a gladness to your work. Let me illustrate this in closing, can I? A few weeks ago, Pastor H.B. Charles up in Jacksonville told a story about his little nephew that reminded me of something that happens often with children, and specifically once with my son Ben when he was very little. Years ago, when Ben was just a toddler, I took him to McDonald's to get something to eat because we were all eating that night at a restaurant he didn't care for. So, you know, let's get him something to eat. And so I got his Happy Meal and all, and in typical fashion, I went ahead and bought myself a small fry because I wanted joy and gladness. And so I had him in the back, and I took his food and I handed it to him, and I said a quick prayer, and then I started to eat a French fry, and he said, "Dad, don't eat my fries." I said, "Ben, these aren't yours." I said, "Yours are still in the bag. You've got your own. Relax." I started to eat him again, and a couple of minutes later, I looked in the mirror, and you know what? He's pouting. He's not even eating his food. He's sitting there and he's pouting, staring at my little bag. Well, now it's on. Because, son, not only are these mine up here, but I paid for those back there. And if you keep it up, I'm going to eat these and those. He changed. You see, folks, here's our problem and why we are exactly like that. Instead of recognizing God's mercy, God's goodness, instead of being satisfied in the Father and fellowshipping with God, we seek satisfaction only from what the Father gives, which emphasizes in our flesh all the things that we think He doesn't give. We're like the older son in Luke 15 who said, "You never gave me a calf." And the father said, "All that I have." Can you imagine how that grieved the heart of the father when I'm here? All that I have and all that is here is yours, especially me. You see, folks, I don't expect a 3-4-year-old toddler going to McDonald's to say, "I am satisfied in my Father, and in my Father's presence, and in His mercy, and that I get joy and gladness." Whatever He provides is satisfaction and joy and gladness more abundantly. We don't expect a toddler to have that much discernment and grace. But we're not toddlers in the Lord. And if God's mercies are new every morning, and if it's only because of His mercies that we are not consumed every day, our joy and gladness ought to be new every morning as well. Can you imagine how it grieves the Heavenly Father when instead of being satisfied in His mercy, we are pouting over what's not in our bag? When He provided for the bag and our breath and our life. Moses prayed, "Lord, satisfy us early with Your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." The mercies of God, what a theme for my song. Oh, I ne'er could number them all. They're more than the stars in the heavenly dome or sands on the wave-beaten shore. For mercies so great, what return can I make? For mercies so constant and sure, I'll love Him, I'll serve Him with all that I have as long as my life shall endure. Let me ask you a question. Are you tired? Aren't you just tired and weary of trying to be satisfied in this world? Of trying to find fulfillment and satisfaction from trinkets and toys and things? Aren't you tired of the joy and the gladness coming and disappearing instantly because it's only related to that which is temporal? Brother Terry sang a moment ago, I thought about the verse, the scripture that Paul wrote from a prison cell when he said, rejoice. He didn't say rejoice. He said, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in Him. And if you want a satisfaction that is eternal, that brings a joy and a gladness that is miraculous, you're going to have to rise above all of your felt needs and recognize this great prayer. Lord, help us to be satisfied early in You. Help me early in this year, right now, 2015, early in this year. Teach me, help me to number my days, to apply my heart to wisdom. Help me, Lord, teach me to be satisfied in You, in Your will, in Your presence, in Your salvation, in Your goodness, in Your mercy, in Your grace, in Your love and Your loving kindness toward me. Because the fruit that comes out of that, the joy and the gladness from that, will not disappear. Even when the trials and the troubles and the tribulations come. And beloved, that is a miracle of a satisfied soul. Father, bless the invitation. We commit it into Your hands. Thank You for Your word. For those who have asked for prayer, Father, I pray that You'll help them to open their hearts either to the gospel or to the power of Your word and the Holy Spirit. Speak to us, Lord. Bless the invitation now in Jesus' precious name. Amen.